Hello and welcome to The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show here on KVRU 105.7 FM. We are recording this week on WNBA Draft Day 2026. We are so stoked. We took a little bit of a break last week with our regular show. We ran some interviews with two University of Washington boxers, Jill Doucet and Apple Tran. Be sure to go look those up if you happen to miss them. They were fighting at the national championships last weekend. This week, we are back with so much women's sports news to catch up on, and we will be bringing you the second half of our show from the WNBA Draft Watch Party at Columbia City's Rough and Tumble Women's Sports Bar. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we're going to talk about all the games and scores we've missed over the past week. I am Maggie Mertens, an independent journalist. The other half of this show is my producer, Jeff Shaw. We have been telling women's sports stories here in Seattle and nationally for over a decade. Stay tuned this hour. We'll be talking about those championships in the boxing world, the finals of the March Madness competition, which we hadn't had time to talk about yet, and we will be going through what's going on with the torrent and the rain, and also, of course, those free agency signings for the Seattle Storm. Stay tuned. All right, Jeff, do you want to bring us the updates on Jill and Apple at the NCBA Boxing National Championships?
Sure. Yeah, the Husky boxing team sent those two women. We're not talking about men's sports, but it was a little bit of a unique situation. The men's team, UW's men's team, won their first national championship ever.
Wow.
So they had some success. So congratulations to them. But Apple ended up losing in the semifinals, but was like, you know, she's only a second year boxer.
Yeah.
And I saw a little bit of the fight that she lost in, but like really held her own. Amateur boxing is kind of a weird, kind of a different, when you think professional boxing, you think style, you think carefully selecting your punches. Mm-hmm. Collegiate boxing, amateur boxing is really about like volume of punches. And so if you get on your back foot and the other person gets more volume, oftentimes they'll get more points. Mm. There's not really like stylistically an opportunity to kind of be yourself.
Interesting.
At times. So that's a little bit, Jill talked about that in our interview, where it's like, it's just a totally different kind of way of boxing. And then Jill Doucet won the national championship.
Dang.
At 125. So
congrats.
I can't remember her. Yeah, I can't remember her weight class last year, but she won the USIBA national championship, but lost, I think, in the final or the semifinal. She's a runner-up last year at NCBA.
Oh, amazing.
So it was really her kind of redemption tour of like, I'm going to do this at least one more year. I want to win that belt. And she fought really well, and then ended up getting the, she was awarded the best female boxer of the tournament. So, that's a pretty cool thing to take home. And I think it's kind of funny. I mean, people don't know, but I've known Jill since she was a kid. Her mom is the subject in my documentary, the main character in my documentary that I've been shooting since 2019. So I've gotten to see Jill grow up. I might have had a small piece in trying to bring Jill to the University of Washington. She didn't know about the box. She didn't know about the boxing team. but I thought her mom put out this post. I was just gonna read a bit of it, but you know, it's, boxing's like very individualistic. Jill's had a like real up and down thing as a boxer. But her mom wrote this thing that said, you know, this started with a little girl from Vancouver Island, Souk, climbing into the ring over and over, trying to find her place. Not every part of the journey was welcoming. There was moments early on when being different didn't quite fit what people expected, where her style, her movement, her way of seeing the ring wasn't easily understood. Those moments can shape an athlete. They can either narrow you or define you. She chose the latter. She kept showing up, kept refining what made her. And then she found her team with the University of Washington Boxing Club, a place that didn't ask her to change, but instead supported her, challenged her, and allowed her individuality to grow. And so you just think about like, you know, in the midst of sport, I thought it was like pretty powerful that her mom got to go see that. But you know, oftentimes people are pigeonholed into like, you have to look this way or do this thing, especially women. Mm-hmm. And she didn't cave and she did her own thing and she ended up winning best female boxer of the tournament. So, you know, not only a national belt, but like earned the respect of a lot of people, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. No, congrats to them. If you all haven't heard the interviews we did with Apple and Jill, please go look those up on our podcast feed. It was really great to talk to them both and learn about this amazing boxing program at University of Washington, which I don't think a lot of people know about. All right, March Madness. Let's do a quick debrief. I know everybody else in the world has talked about it, probably moved on and forgotten, but I really want to talk about it. UCLA, they won.
Let's go Bruins. Corey Close for the win.
Corey Close. I mean, talk about an amazing... I think the coaching, I mean, not just because Gino Auriemma had a giant baby moment, but like... the coaching really was noticeable in this tournament, right? And you're at this time where college basketball is changing so much, right? Everybody's moving around all the time. And so to see like the way that Corey has built a program kind of slow and steady and then like was able to keep this group of seniors around, it really does kind of show that that is still super powerful in terms of like actually winning a tournament, is having that time to have gelled and grown and then like be together still your senior year and put those pieces all together. I told you I fell in love with Lauren Betts. I feel like she is like the future of the WNBA. If she can put it all together, I loved watching her play. Jeff doesn't fully believe me that she's going to be like the next superstar, but we'll see.
It's not that I don't believe you. It's just, I think there's still this misconception. I have an argument, a bet with my wife about this.
Okay. Tell me.
Because the WNBA is so competitive and you could get drafted in the first round and not make an opening day roster. You know, we've seen that. I think with expansion, it's going to be a little bit different, but I think there's some unknowns. And so like Lauren Betts is going to be good. She's going to be on a team. She's going to be a game changer, but I think it's going to take a couple years for her to really, I just think like Lauren Betts versus Asia Wilson, I want to see that. I'd be curious to know what's going to happen. You know, Asia's quite a bit older, just a different player. I just think the refinement of the game, it's just so different than, you know, the like college to NBA pipeline or high school to NBA pipeline. The bet I have with my wife is she thinks that all five of, and maybe six, the six women of UCLA's roster are going to be on opening day rosters. You know, all five of their starting five got invited to the draft.
Yeah.
I think one of those people won't be on a roster, but that's just, I'm hedging, you know, I'm playing percentages.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Storm's going to have some room.
the shots start now.
Yeah, sorry. No, I don't know. That team was really, it was really, really impressive. But look, like, it doesn't always translate. You're absolutely right. I mean, I remember... you know, the 2020 Oregon Ducks, Sabrina Ionescu, Satu Sabali, there was a third player there. Rosie, what was her last name? I don't even remember. And she was so, like, they were so good together. Like, this trio that just, like if there had been a national championship, like, they would have won. They were amazing playing together. It was so fun to watch. And, you know, she doesn't play in the W. Obviously, it doesn't always transfer in. And even with two more teams this year, there's still tight roster space. And so it's going to be different. But I was really happy for that team. I think like to win without being like the superstar everybody's been watching all year is like something that we haven't seen in a little while. And I really enjoyed that. Even though they were a number one pick, still.
My My question is why I am a homer beyond homer, Pac-12 Pacific Coast basketball fan. I have no clue why people were not expecting them to win. It like blows my mind when you watch them play basketball.
Yeah.
You watch them destroy the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Or the Big 12 or whatever.
Whatever they play in. Yes.
Ten. It's like Big Ten with 16 teams or whatever. There's no way in my mind they would have been like a dark horse or a sleeper pick.
Yeah.
There is a legit chance that all five of their starting five are on opening day rosters and playing minutes in the W.
Yeah.
And Chloe Close, like she was the national team coach.
Yeah.
So like she's no slouch. She's a wooden yes. protege. Yes. Like
I love that. Yeah.
Why were we not talking about her? She does all the little, it feels like she does all the little things right. And the only reason why we're talking about her now is because she won. Mm-hmm. But like, she's been doing this for 15 years, yeah. plus years, you know, wild. At UCLA.
I mean, I think it's right. It's like the championships is where the attention goes. And like, we've just had so many strong championship, like legacy teams now for the last several years that, yeah, the attention goes there. Like, we want to know what UConn's going to do. We want to know what South Carolina's going to do. And then you've got a lot more big names now. Like, there are a lot of big potential draft picks that are in college right now that we're all like, that are becoming household names. And that's just like a different amount of attention. And I think with UCLA too, it's that there are such a great team, like that it was very much, and that's why they won, that they, you know, all were clicking on all the cylinders, especially in that final, but at the same time, that's not like the same kind of star power that sometimes drives the views, drives the eyeballs, especially in women's college basketball, right? Like it's Paige Beckers or Caitlin Clark or whomever, like. And so I think it was different, but I really loved that. It was fun. It kind of reminded me of the Stanford team that won several years ago, whatever year that was, 21, 22. Yeah.
Before Tara left. Retired.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
That it was just a really strong team. And that was what Tara Vanderveer was good at too, right? Like mm-hmm. really developing and really keeping those people around and playing the strengths together. I thought it was a really fun tournament. Were you surprised about the Gino Auriemma just like losing his mind?
I don't think we need another white man take on it, but I was pretty mad.
I feel like he's just, it was just so dumb. Like, you're throwing away so much by doing this. And it's like, it's not like, I don't know. It was just so silly. It just put so much more on Dawn Staley that she had to do even more like public apology for someone else, basically. Like, she did a great job, of course, because she's Dawn Staley. But Jesus, I was just like, Gino, you are like ruining your own legacy. Like, if he was anyone else, I bet he would have been fired. Like, I don't know if he was on Gino Auriemma. Like it was horrible. Like, horrible. And to do that, to double down on it, triple down on it after the game, at the press conference, even later. Then somebody asked him, like, oh, aren't you and Don, like, close? He's like, nope, we have no relationship. Which is a lie! Like, this is just all... It was crazy to me. It was crazy. And I was just glad everyone seemed to like actually take him to task for it. Like, I did not really hear anyone apologizing for him. Except for, wait, no, I take that back. Diana Taurasi.
That's Dee's guy.
Yes. Dee's and guy. Sue, right? Like, they both.
Sue hasn't said, I don't know no, if she said anything.
She did. She did. Okay. At a touch more, they did a recording and she was like, she gave her it was not like apologizing for him, but it was very like, he's basically my dad. Like, I can't like it was wrong, but you know, whatever. And Diana was like, oh, it's just like, you know, two big, like hot-headed competitors from Philly, well, like they didn't act the same. Like they could both, they might be both hot-headed competitors from Philly, but like there were very different situations there. And yeah, I was just sort of like, no, this is not the time. Like, I get you love that guy, but like that means calling him in right now, you know?
Like, yeah. I like couldn't dwell on it too much. I actually think it took the pressure off of Corey Close and UCLA. You know, there was a lot of hubbub around everything, not them.
Yeah, totally.
I think the Scott Van Pelt, after the post game show, we were texting about it while it was happening.
Yeah, it was great.
I actually think that that analysis, the way he handled that, and then the way the two women commentators, you know, who are at the game, handled that, mm-hmm. and the way that they kind of went back and forth, they didn't let him off the hook.
Yeah.
SVP didn't let him off the hook. That was actually, to me, I drama aside, I actually was like, I think women's basketball has turned a corner coverage wise because I haven't seen, you kind of need some controversy at times for these like hot take shows or these whatever, where it's like actually serious conversation about basketball and what's best. And like, I wonder if a little bit of like women's basketball arrived in that sense with that post game show. Cause it was, I don't know if I've ever seen a post game show like that around the women's tournament. Mm-hmm. It was like good analysis, some critique, talking about the basketball. I mean, because he got his, you know, butt whipped by South Carolina. Like they focused on like, look at what South Carolina did to UConn.
Yeah.
Like, and they like really covered the game in a way that was new. So I don't know. I think, yeah, it is a terrible situation. Yeah. I'm just glad UCLA won.
Yeah. Over to the BWHL. The Torrent is still at the bottom of the table, Jeff. They did, however, pull out a win against Ottawa at their last game. That was on Wednesday the 8th. But there are only 4 games left this season. My prediction is elimination will be coming soon for them. But you never know. They keep kind of like semi-reviving themselves at the last moment. 3 teams have clinched playoff spots so far in the PWHL. So, you know, if nothing else, this has been just an amazing, amazing year for women's hockey. And I am really looking forward to, you know, what the Torrent will do to kind of maybe have a more productive season next year. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that at the moment. I think we'll probably dive a little deeper with the Torrent once the regular season is over here. We can have some folks back on to chat through what happened. Seattle Reign, their last game was Saturday, April 4th, before they went on a bit of an international break. They played the Denver Summit, a new team in the NWSL, which ended in a 0-0 draw. But the Reign is sitting at 3-1-1. They've got a really great start to the season. And they will be back at Lumen Field on April 26th at 5 p.m. for their first game here in Seattle, their first true home opener of the season since they had those first few home games over in Spokane. If you are looking for more soccer, if you hear this show on Tuesday, there will be an opportunity still to go out to Lumen Field tonight to see the U.S. Women's National Team play Japan here at home at 7 p.m. They are actually hoping to break another attendance record. They're really pushing this. I don't know if you saw Megan Rapinoe made an Instagram post saying, you know, the last game was where the record was set was at her going away game, and they want to try to set a new record. The U.S. did.
You're going to be there, right?
I am going to be there. I am planning a very cozy outfit because it's supposed to be very cold and rainy, and I truly hate that stadium when it is cold and rainy. It does not do you any favors. It is not comfortable. But I am going to be really excited because I haven't seen the national team play since the 2015 World Cup in person. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that. It's been a long time. There are none of the same players. And I haven't seen any of these youngins really in person. So They did beat Japan already 2-1 when they played them in the first game of this series. And so I will be looking forward to it. Japan is also excellent right now. So it should be a great game, which is always fun if you're going to go out to see the national team. UW softball is still on a roll, Jeff. They swept Minnesota in 3 games at Husky Stadium this weekend. Next week, they'll be going to Oregon. And then the following weekend, they'll be back home April 24th, 25th, and 26th, playing UCLA in the Big Ten in tournament play for the Big Ten, where they are currently undefeated. What are you have any thoughts about that?
Top team.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we talked to Heather. I kind of poked the bear because I was asking Heather, like, you don't have any superstars. They do. They're just not household names yet. I mean, Alexis DeBoer, you know, she hits home runs like nobody's business.
Amazing.
And their pitching staff has been really good. They're not undefeated in Big Ten play for no reason. They're a very good, well-rounded team. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that thing of, like, you know, Oklahoma, Texas Tech or Texas. Some of these teams have these, like, really big stars. You know, they'll have, like, one really good pitcher, one whatever. And Heather has built a program where everyone's important, everyone plays, and it's more of this team scenario. And so, I think the biggest test for them is if they could beat UCLA at home. If they could win that, they keep winning these series. If they could win that series 2 or 3 or stay undefeated, they're going to be hosting a super regional. So I think I'm hoping to be at those games. It's going to be that's going to be a ruckus party.
It's amazing. Yes. And hopefully there will be some good weather for it so that people can get out to Husky Stadium and go watch. I know I hope to catch a game. All right. They weren't lying that this was going to be a crazy situation with almost everyone being a free agent and all of this happening in a super short timeline. I mean, my head is spinning. I have multiple text threads with people, like, trying to just give myself a break sometimes and, like, not open Instagram so I don't see anything. This has been stressful. I have heard a little bit of gossip from unnamed sources about the Storm ownership group, that the Storm team is looking to rebuild with youth because of the new coach. That's what she wants. I love it, actually. I want a rebuild. I think we need it. I think we've been kind of in the stalled period for a little bit too long. Having NECA and Skylar and everybody was fun. They are no longer with us. They have both signed elsewhere. And, you know, as has Gabby Williams, which was pretty surprising to see Gabby leave. I'm happy for the Valkyries. They deserved kind of somebody really good. And maybe that'll be good. But I was a little bummed about that one. But building around Dom, Ezzy, who does look like we're probably keeping.
There's some rumors about that.
Well,
there's some rumors.
Yes.
Sign and trade.
Yes. So we'll see. I mean, that would have to happen, like, now, though, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. How soon can it happen?
I'm unclear.
Like, could we get to the draft party this afternoon and they're like, wait, actually, you also have the number one pick? Like, that would be insane. Mm-hmm.
Or they could have a deal. I think there's a way that they could have a deal already made out where someone's going to draft someone for them and then they trade.
And then they trade after.
I'd be curious to know what the mechanics are.
Yeah, it's been very rumory online for sure.
I don't think, I mean, Jeff Brown from Storm Chasers has said a couple times that I don't know if Ezzy is a lock. So
yeah. Although she did say, I mean, she made a statement though about, like, staying in Seattle after the signing was announced. So we'll see. But I think, you know, building around Dom and Jordan Horston and, you know, our draft pick, who is gonna be probably Olivia Miles, but we will find out soon. No, okay, Jeff says no. But I don't know. So I do like building around the youth that we have though. I think that's a good idea. I don't really love the signings we have currently made entirely. I'm not super shocked we haven't signed anybody huge. But yeah, I do have some feelings about who we've signed so far.
I think not to steal words out of your mouth, but like, I think, or speak for you, but like, we don't know anything about what this offense is going to look like. We have no clue what the program, the system, the offense, anything about what the summer going to do.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit like, feels a little bit like just taking some stuff and throwing it on the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yes.
I would say if Noel Quinn was coaching this year, I would be like, it's going to be a long year. Mm-hmm. I would say if, what's his name? Dan, the OG Hughes. Coach, mm-hmm. Dan Hughes. If Dan Hughes was coaching, I would say, you know, they have something up their sleeve.
Yeah.
Like they're going to run some like archaic flex system that works in college, kills in high school, somewhat works in college. Mm-hmm. They're going to run a zone and they're going to like get through it. We just don't know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I will say there's still pieces yet to be signed. One that I've been kind of keeping my eye on is Natasha Cloud. She is not signed yet. And Ramon was a Liberty assistant coach, which I think is like why we got Dolson. I feel like she might be still kind of working some of that. Although it's tough to pull people from the Liberty, of course. And you're really seeing that play out. Like, you know, the Aces signed everybody, like re-signed everybody, right? The Liberty are re-signing everybody.
The Sparks.
Yes, the Sparks are pulling, which I kind of love for the Sparks.
They're going to be so good. I love for Kelsey Plum.
Kelsey Plum and Cam Brink. And like, I love that game. They're just like, they're fun. They're old school. They deserve to be good because they're LA's team. Like they went through some bad years. I was upset in NECA leaving. Going back to the Sparks is great. Great move. I love the loyalty. You know, there's something to that. I don't know.
Let us not forget the owner of the Sparks is the owner of the PWHL.
So they have money.
They have money. So I think him and his wife have been cleverly waiting. They are ready to spend.
Yeah.
And they're not going to mess around.
Yeah.
And so like they had limited money with signing Kelsey to a $999,000 deal. But like they're going to try to win. You know?
Yeah. And they should. And they should. And like that, I love that. I don't know. It's like you hate when everything is like too equal because it's like, okay, we're all gonna, it's not as exciting, but I hate the super teams because you don't, or maybe what I hate is having a few teams that are just gonna not be good. And like for the last few years, like the Sparks have just not been good. And that has been not super fun. The Storm has also not very good.
The Sparks have been better than the Storm in the second half of the season, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting. And, you know, I think it's going to be I think this new CBA has really shaken things up and it is going to be a very different league. And that is, you know, something to watch.
I also think people don't always understand like how good these players are.
Yes.
They're usually older, you know, you're not seeing 19 and 20 year olds come into the W and just kill.
No,
like
never.
Malanga played great and unrivaled. She had some moments during the W where she had played great. And then with just the consistency of it, it's a lot of games, different style of play.
Yeah.
So I do think that there is an opportunity where for an organization to have a coach that wants to do something a little different, run more of a system or a program where you're not just like superstar heavy dependent.
Yep.
I do think you have, if you're not going to have the superstars, you better have a coach that can hack the system and really coach.
Yeah.
Because these players, and you got to find pieces that fit because maybe they were on a team and they didn't quite play their best role or they were playing a different position or whatever. So you have to know like, hey, we're going to bring you in. We want you to do this thing that you do really well. We're going to put you in position to succeed.
Yep.
I don't think Noe was that coach.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what
Sonia Rahman might be that coach, right? Because, I mean, she was a surprise pick, right? And I think, you know, if you're taking somebody who used to coach MIT and like these different kinds of programs, like that is because like they have a brain, right? Like they've got like some kind of tactical plan. I don't see what it is yet based on who we've signed, right? We also did sign Jade Melbourne, who was on the team, I think, 2 years ago. Mackenzie Holmes and Zia Cook, who were...
Katie Lou.
And Katie, Lou, Katie Lou Samuelson.
She's back.
She is back. I have feelings. I don't love, you know, I think when we're signing people who were relatively okay years ago on our roster and re-signing them, like, to me, that feels 2023. Like, when we had nobody, when we were, Storm was completely shocked when Stewie left. And
it was Jewel Lloyd.
And yep. And the Storm had to build around one player, had nobody. Everybody else seemed to have a plan. The Storm was left completely flat-footed. And it kind of feels like that again to me. I don't see anything super exciting. And yeah.
Yeah. So what are we doing the second half of the show?
We will be going to Rough and Tumble, Columbia City. Rough and Tumble is one of the wonderful women's sports bars here in town. Columbia City is their second location. And we are going to go see an official WNBA draft party. Doppler's apparently supposed to stop by, so look forward to that, Jeff. That's one reason, actually, I can't bring my kids. They're so scared of Doppler. Anyway, we will be there. We will be talking to fans. We will be talking to probably lots of opinionated Storm season ticket holders and longtime fans about who they think Seattle should pick here in this year, 2026, with so many good options with the number 3 pick. And who knows, maybe the number 1 pick. Do send us your questions, your comments, your hot takes at theforecast@kvru.org. Or as Jeff said, we're on Instagram at Seattle Women's Sports. You can send us a DM there as well. And we will be chatting everything Storm next week, as well as second half of the show. We'll be down at Rough and Tumble. All right. This is The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show on KVRU 105.7 FM. We will be right back. We are here in Columbia City at Rough and Tumble, a local women's sports bar, and we are watching the WNBA draft with like 100 other people, at least, in this tiny, tiny space. People are really, really excited. What are your thoughts about this Olivia Miles pick?
Yeah, Miles is a good pick by them. I thought she would have fit in for us.
Yeah.
But and I watched her play when she beat our Huskies. But good player. But that leaves the door open for maybe Lauren Betts, or see what we do, see what we need, or best player. We'll see what happens.
No, thank you. Yeah. Who do you want?
Well, later in the round, I want them to. I'm really hoping that they draft Ella Dean later in the third round, but that's my selfish thing. But we can build something around Betts, but who's a Spaniard who's available? Maybe she can fit a role with us. Yeah. And so, I don't know. And then later on, if we trade our seventh round for maybe we take Betts now, trade our seventh round for a point guard somewhere, we'll be good with that.
The Seattle Storm select Ala.
I think we are all just very shocked.
Why are you shocked? Tell me why.
Well, let's see here. Minnesota Lynx with the number two pick went with Olivia Miles. And I think everybody was kind of assuming that that was going to be the Storm's pick. We really needed a point guard. And instead, you know, they grabbed her. And I am not sure what the Storm's plan is at this moment, because they decided with their number three pick to go with Awafam, who, you know, is another big. And it seems like we've got a few of those already. And still no point guard, with several great guards up for the pick and still.
So we have currently on the roster, we have Ezzy, which we talked about earlier.
Ezzy.
We have Dom Malonga.
Dom Malonga.
And now we have Awafam.
And now we have Awafam. And we also signed Stephanie Dolson. So you've got just a lot of height.
I think
nobody's going to beat us in the paint, I guess.
I think Jordan Horstead's like 6'2".
Jordan Horstead is Horstead. Pretty tall too.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just going all height, all defense.
Yeah. So I think at this point, everyone's a little surprised. Like, what's the move?
Well, I don't know what the move is exactly with the Storm. I think there's still folks that have yet to be signed, and we are, we still have salary cap space. So there's potentially, maybe it was, you know, waiting for somebody like Natasha Cloud or Ray Burrell to like see what we ended up with and who we should go after out of that group that's left. Clearly, you know, we're rebuilding, the Storm is rebuilding, but it's not completely clear to me what the direction is. So, but things, you know, there's still time for stuff to shake out. And as well, there's another pick coming up.
Yeah, 13, right? Mm-hmm. Correct. I also think that it's pretty surprising. Everyone seems to be pretty stoked for the Storm right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I don't feel 100% stoked.
No, but I mean in the bar.
In the bar, like, yes.
Like the atmosphere in the bar. We've been to Rough and Tumble in Ballard.
Yeah.
You've been,
yeah,
you know, for some events. This is a smaller space, but like, yeah, people showed up at 4 o'clock to pack
it
out.
Oh, gosh, yes. And oh, gosh.
I didn't, you know, we talked to a couple people after that pick, but
yeah,
they didn't seem disappointed.
I don't think they're disappointed. I think they're surprised. I think they're trying to figure it out, right? This is unclear what the direction is, but at the same time, it's that whole thing of it's a new day for the WNBA. And I think people are excited about that, right? Like, everybody's in here cheering for the Minnesota pick and the Chicago pick, even though like they're all going to beat the Storm, right? So we'll see. I think people are just excited about women's basketball, as they should be.
So we'll be back after that 13th pick to kind of get people's reactions, close it out, and be ready to talk Storm basketball.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a little bit more understanding of the motives here.
No, I think Ezzy's too much of a franchise player. Like, I think she sells jerseys. People in Seattle like her too much. And especially after all the departures, like, I think it makes sense to, like, keep someone you're familiar with.
Yeah.
And not to mention, like, wasn't she, like, leading blocks per game last season? So you're not going to lose that kind of defensive mentality, especially if you're coaching up, like, the younger people, like the Doms and the Awas. Like, you don't want to lose that.
Yeah. All right. Are you surprised?
I genuinely thought that they were going to, like, Minnesota was gearing up to pick, like, either Lauren Betts or Awafam.
Yeah.
I was really hoping for Olivia Miles, but I'm kind of like, we'll see. Honestly, like, I told her, I was like, honestly, sleeper pick might be Rory Harmon. We need a point guard. And by the time that we get to, like, our next pick, who knows?
Okay, Maggie, the Storm just announced their 14th pick in the 2026 WNBA draft. What do you think?
I can't even remember her name. What's her name? Well, let's put it this way. She wasn't there at the draft. She was not expected to go in the first round. So the Storm has made a very interesting decision. I'm a little confused.
Diana Mayer from Duke.
We still had Marta Suarez on the table. We still had Neepkins. I don't get it. I don't know.
Why do you go with someone? You turned to me and you said, who is making these decisions?
Yes. I would like to know. I would really like to know. We didn't even get to hear anything from her because she wasn't at the draft.
So needless to say, I feel like you have like some thoughts.
My thoughts are I'm a little confused about where the Storm's head is at. And I'm hoping that it becomes clear. I'm hoping it becomes clear. I'm hoping that they sign someone else that is yet to be signed.
My question is, I watched a bit of Duke women's basketball this year. I don't know if she was the best player on their team. She might have been the best player on their team at times.
Yeah.
They're a very good team. They made a pretty good run in the tournament. They play it as a team.
That's true. That's true.
So, see previous conversation in the first half of the show. Like, depending on coaching, if you're building a team and a program, maybe defense is a factor. Maybe rebounding is a factor with your height.
Well, again, maybe like, yes, maybe Sonia Rahman has a brilliant, evil genius plan that we just do not know. And honestly, it's got to be that at this point, because this seems so random, so strange, and so out of left field. It feels very like Moneyball, like something like just, you know, you're doing your own thing. You're kind of going in a different direction. And okay, that's fine. I want exciting basketball that's fun to watch, and I hope we get it.
I think if the Storm play exciting basketball that's fun to watch, no one will care who's on the team.
That's true.
But if she doesn't make the opening day roster,
yes.
I think there should be a lot of questions about why they picked her at this pick with other players on the board.
Yeah, I think if this season does not go well, if our roster picks do not come through, the GM is going to be put into question for sure, because this is now the second time in the last few years that we've kind of been left scratching our heads about what the Storm leadership is doing with the roster.
That's not really an encouraging thought to leave us with.
I mean, look, we will have some... We have Dom, and now we have our fam, and that might be a really fun thing to watch. And so in 3 years, maybe we'll win a championship.
Maybe in 3 years, we make the playoffs.
Maybe. Look, if we sign Natasha Cloud in the next couple days, I'll be happy.
Different conversation.
Absolutely. Okay, Crystal Fincher has some FOMO about the draft already. Tell us about it, Crystal.
I have Gabriella Hawkes FOMO. She is just an absolute powerhouse. Versatile, tenacious, and driven. I would never bet against her. She always rises to the occasion. She's lived this her entire life, with her entire family, and with the Storm going into this rebuild, she seems like a really key puzzle piece that could fit in with a lot of different types of players and just elevate the team, the whole team.
Yeah, I feel it. I feel it too. I mean, I feel it for Olivia Miles and Lauren Betts. I feel all the FOMO. Why couldn't we draft everyone?
I am sitting in my car editing this back half of the show, and I get a text. What just happened?
We got Flauge! I'm so excited. That was really surprising. The entire bar just like erupted in shrieks. The Storm just traded that Marta Suarez pick to the Valkyries for Flauge Johnson. huge difference just in terms of what we need, what the Storm needs on their roster. And also, I mean, a huge pick. And an interesting trade, too, because they traded for a second round pick in 2028 in addition, which does not seem like something much to be giving up. But clearly this was just about watching what was going to fit with which pieces on which team. So maybe we do have some evil genius going on up in the Storm's front office more than I thought.
So you're telling me they traded Suarez and a 2027?
28. Second round.
Suarez and a 2028 second round draft pick for
Flage. Which is pretty interesting.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But we get a guard. We get...
A true point guard.
A true point guard and an incredible person. I mean, somebody who's just so fun. And I think that's what's, you know, that's really exciting, I think, for the Storm. That is something that'll be really amazing. I mean, this is a really different, all of a sudden a very different, we're looking at a very different roster.
And Maggie's saying that with a big smile on her face.
I mean, listen, as we were listening to Flage give her interview after she was drafted, we were all sitting there going, oh, she's so cool. Like, she just has a really great outlook. You know, she obviously has built her own image and everything and, you know, is just a really cool person, but clearly backs it up as well. And I don't know. We haven't really had someone super fun like that on the Storm for a long time. And yeah, I mean, that just adds a really some needed positioning that we need, you know, that the Storm needed to this roster of very, very tall centers
from other countries.
Yes.
So at this point, I think we're going to end the show, but stay tuned next week. Who knows what roller coaster ride we're going to go through in the next 36, 48 hours.
Yes. Yes, there will be more. We'll break it all down for you. Thanks for listening to The Forecast. Thank you so much for tuning into The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show on KVRU 105.7 FM. Our show airs on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. and Wednesdays at 9 a.m. You can also find us on your favorite podcast feeds. I'm Maggie Mertens, your host. We are produced by Jeff Scott-Shaw. Thanks to Crystal Fincher, Shannon Chang, and the rest of the staff at KVRU for broadcasting our show. We want to hear from you as we get the forecast off the ground. Reach out with story ideas, comments, questions, or hot takes of your own, especially about the Storm's choices during the WNBA draft at theforecast@kvru.org or on Instagram at Seattle Women's Sports. We'll be back next week with more women's sports. See you.